Hi, Lloyd. A little slow tonight, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Mr. Torrance. What'll it be?
I'm awfully glad you asked me that, Lloyd. Because I just happen to have 220s and 210s right here in my wallet. I was afraid they were going to be there till next April. So here's what. You slip me a bottle of bourbon, a little glass, and some ice. You can do that, can't you, Lloyd? You're not too busy, are you?
No, sir. I'm not busy at all.
Good man. You set him up and I'll knock him back, Lloyd. One by one. White man's burden, Lloyd, my man. White man's burden.
So hi and welcome to the Only Movie Podcast. Mm-hmm. This is Andrew.
This is Damien.
And this is, why is this pointed at me? This is Douglas.
Because you put it there.
I didn't, the microphone?
Yes, you did. No, put it back.
I don't remember putting this here. When did that happen? Now it's going to be the reverse of what used to happen. I'm going to sound good and everybody else is going to be just, you know.
Well, it makes sense since you're the prettiest.
Flattery will get you nowhere, sir.
It will get him everywhere. Absolutely everywhere.
Anyways, going into this week's film, I wanted to start by us talking about the latest film by David Gordon Green, Prince Avalanche.
Feel that pain is poisonous, right?
When you were out here by yourself, didn't you get lonely?
I reap the rewards of solitude.
Huh? I get so horny out here in nature, don't you?
Enjoy your hot fish.
Here's to fire in our hearts. You shouldn't smoke.
I know it's bad for you.
No, I mean, you shouldn't smoke. You look stupid.
Douglas, you seem the most excited for this film coming out of the trailer.
Summer. That's a fair comment.
I'm kind of curious because I think you've had a weird relationship with David Gordon Green as
yes,
a filmmaker.
Have you
seen any of his films before, like the ridiculous comedies that he did from?
I think the first one was the
I can't remember the name of it, the pot movie with Seth Rogen and Frank.
Right, Pineapple Express. That was the first big movie that he made with, you know, that was, you know,
but that was the beginning of his like comedy.
Right,
stint.
Exactly, and that was awesome. I have seen one movie before that, at least that I know of. And if I recall correctly, it's a long time ago that I watched this. It starred Zooey Deschanel, and it was called Damien is Pulling It Up
All
Now,
the
All
Girls.
The Real Girls.
I like that movie.
And I really like that movie. Unfortunately, I couldn't tell you exactly what happens in that movie because it's been a long time, but I remember enjoying it to no end.
I wonder why. Who is in that movie?
No.
That's you guys.
I don't have a bias. I don't bias at all. New Girl is a top-notch television show.
You're on Paul Schneider. Paul Schneider, that's who it is. Paul Schneider.
Yeah, that's exactly who
that's
it is.
That's where that bias comes from.
So yes, I have seen some of his serious stuff and liked it. I have seen some of his not serious stuff and not liked it. For me, David Gordon Green is definitely a hit and miss because I absolutely adored both the beginning and the end. Well, I shouldn't call it the end, but the most recent comedy film. So the beginning being Pineapple Express and the most recent, if I'm correct, you look, you're giving me a weird look, which means I'm probably wrong.
No, you're right, because I know what movie you're talking about, and I know you like it, this but is you're the wrong end. About liking it.
This is the end?
No, that wasn't him.
Oh, that was okay.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about The Sitter.
Yes, The Sitter. No, I hate that movie.
I'm the one.
That movie is disgusting. Okay.
He didn't do This Is the End.
Yes, it was Greg Mottola.
No, it was Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg.
Well, those are the writers, you sure? Well, no. Was it them that wrote it and who directed it? You sure Seth Rogen directed it?
I think Seth Rogen directed that movie because it was a big thing that, like, because it was his project. It was a short film him and that guy made together.
Jay Baruchel?
Not Jay Baruchel. Jay Baruchel was in it, but it was the guy who he wrote 50-50 with.
Yeah, I think
Evan Goldberg. That's the guy who directed it.
Okay.
Okay. Along with Seth Rogen.
In that case, let me pull back my praise and say that I've only liked one of his Uber comedies, which is Pineapple Express. This movie was okay, it gave me what I expected. Not exactly what I expected, but
the trailer. The Mario Brothers?
I saw the Mario Brothers. The trailer was pretty awesome. You know, it promised to just over the top personalities and the potential for craziness and crazy interactions between them, and that's what you got in this movie. I wouldn't venture to say that this is a great movie, but I definitely enjoyed it. It's, you know, a 3 out of 4, right? By our most recent scale that we've decided to take on. This is just a movie all about characters, all about the two main guys in the film, Paul Rudd and Speed Racer, and I hate that movie.
Oh God.
Yep.
But how about that other guy from Milk?
No, Speed Racer.
How about the dude from Killer Joe?
Speed Racer.
How about Speed Racer?
So Speed Racer was really good.
Does that mean Paul Rudd's Racer X?
Can I just throw something at him?
Like, seriously?
Anyway, Speed Racer I thought was really good in this movie, which is a bit of a change because I think everybody who listens to this podcast and knows me knows that for some strange reason I am probably the biggest fan of The Girl Next Door, and that was the first movie I ever saw Speed Racer in.
That is where I like him from.
That is
right.
Ever since then, if I see him in any sort of promotional stuff, I'm like, all right, I can see myself watching this. You know, he's lost a little bit of that with things like Speed Racer.
I think I'm going to a Speed Racer today.
Into the Wild, which I didn't really like either.
I love that movie,
but I still, for some reason, if I see him, it's not necessarily the negative that it should be.
Exactly.
It's okay. That's all it is. Yeah.
Like Snowy Angel.
So I thought he was definitely much better than he usually is. He was really good in this movie. He, you know, just played this like slacker.
Oh my god.
What?
He was in Alpha Dogs.
Yes, he was.
The movie is horrendous.
I never watched that movie.
I actually don't mind that movie.
That movie was so bad.
I remember thinking that movie was okay.
God, this is the result of giving people wireless internet.
Yes, it is. Oh, clearly, I should lock my wireless internet, Andrew.
Just change the password to Damon is the worst.
Yep. So that was good. Also, Paul Rudd, who we all three of us have come to the conclusion that we hate Paul Rudd movies, but we love Paul Rudd.
I still haven't gotten there.
Paul Rudd was we got there for you. Paul Rudd.
Did you watch Admission?
Actually.
Oh my goodness, I did not watch Admission.
Douglas, don't.
Paul Rudd is Paul Rudd in this movie, and he is perfect. He's clearly what Emil Hirsch, sorry, what Speed Racer, aspired to be in this film in terms of hitting his character spot on. And I just, while the movie kind of, and I'm sure this is at least a piece of why Damien probably doesn't like this movie. This movie kind of just goes on and doesn't really, just goes round and round and doesn't really do much. But just watching the characters, watching their buffoonery, from Paul Rudd trying to pretend like he's this, high class person, this pretentious like letter writer and just, wine swisher or whatever, to Emil Hirsch being this ridiculous, I can't stay out here longer than 5 minutes without wanting to get the man junk squeezed, or whatever he called it.
The little man
squeezed and wanting to, go drink and go party. So I liked that about the movie. As I said, I think, it was a fairly enjoyable movie, 3 out of 4. Not too great, but still nice.
Yes. This movie is pretty average. It's one of those movies. it's one of those, small indie movies. And it knows it's that, and it plays up all of that. There's a point where the trees literally, they started writing text on the trees.
Oh, fuck, I forgot about that.
And I went, you sons of bitches. Right? There's drunk people singing. The movie is about relationships. Both, relationships that you see on screen and relationships that take place off screen. And it is small and intimate. And I've seen this movie trillions of times now. And it's not that this movie does anything poorly. It's that I've seen this, not this specific movie, but this type of movie, I've seen so many of them, that it takes something special, like something really special, for me to go, aha. So these movies now fall into one of two categories. They're either, okay, I've seen this, like, what was it? The last...
Certified copy?
No. There's this British one. Stop it. There's this British
one.
Oh,
yeah, that's right. That's not okay. That's just horrible.
Like Someone in Love?
Can we be serious? All right. So, take Like Someone in Love, for example. It's either okay. So, it's either two. Or it is the before movies, which is essentially this type of movie. But they're like past the mark. You go, alright, I like this, there's something special here. Or you watch it and you go, alright, I like this. Well, there's nothing really special. Like, if this movie came on again, I'd watch it. It's not a case where there's, problems with the movie. Paul Rudd and Emil Hirsch did their jobs, they played two goofballs who are doing this ridiculous job out in the middle of nowhere. They have to find ways to entertain themselves, and they come up with some of the dumbest conversations you've ever heard. And you go, yeah, that is exactly what would take place. You two grown men in quotations, have nothing to do with their time. They have to talk to each other. You come up with dumb shit to talk about, and you find crazy shit to do when you're alone, etc., etc. And you say that. But then it's the flourishes that made the movie, that much more indie. That when I see them, I go, all right, movie. Like, it feels like they're trying too hard, but they're really not. Like, at the end of the movie, of course, there's the scene where they show all these other people to show you that, oh, this is a real thing that real people do. And so they have this scene of the camera moving, and you see real men doing real work. and you see children playing in these burnt out fields and on, and you go, all right. And then there's of course there's drunk singing, because there's always singing in these movies, because there has to be. There's the most indie music you can, like, I'm sure if we looked at the song list, it would have been songs from people
I don't know if no one has ever heard of. When the movie was over, I really liked the song that was playing, and I pulled out my phone and I put on Shazam to find out, and my phone was like, I don't know who that
Shazam
is.
Shazam is right. It's songs where Shazam got, look son, this only works for music that people know. For your weird ass, three people in the world knows this song type bullshit. Alright, Shazam, I'm sorry. And you watch and you go, alright, movie. The execution was terrific. There's just not the thing that I want there. And it's not to say that, you know, these movies can't do that, because even like one of my recent favorites, The Young Victoria, there's nothing remarkable about that film. There's just something I like about it. So instead of it being an okay film, which it would be for most people, it transcended for me to this great film that I like a lot. And so I do this. Do you know what it is? Google is auto backing up a picture.
Don't tell me you have that picture forever now.
Google has that picture forever and deleted that shit. Right, so it's just, look guys, if you listen to this podcast, chances are you like this movie.
Chances are they've seen this movie.
Right. You've seen and will like this movie. There will be varying levels of like, one of you out there might hate it. I don't see how that's going to happen, because there's nothing that egregious about the film. But it's one of those. And we see a lot of them. And we'll continue to see a lot of them. Because they're geared to people like us. The trailers come out and manipulate us, especially Douglas.
Yep.
Right? They keep the talking to a minimum. They play some song Shazam can't recognize. And
or Douglas will be the right. one who's like, oh,
right.
I know those people.
Right, Douglas will recognize it, of course. But Shazam, built for normal humans, won't recognize.
I think I need to listen to some Alt-J now.
And then,
so loud.
I love Alt-J. What,
know,
have you gotten into
no,
it now?
No, I haven't really, but I heard a song somewhere, and I'm like, I think I like this person.
Yeah. This is
oh yeah, that was it in this. The, yeah, we really should, that would be awesome.
No,
you've been
I'm
talking
not going to do it.
You've been talking
shit
to him
about
me from before we went to TIFF.
Yeah, but I know, but I was just saying, I think we watched some sort of movie, and it was on in a car somewhere, and I was like, that's
yeah,
Audrey.
I heard
oh,
you
it was Homeland.
Yeah.
Homeland, yeah, last Homeland episode.
Mm-hmm.
Who?
Alt-J.
I've never heard.
I know you've never heard.
Ever.
Yeah.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
Ever.
He is
I'm trying to think
fantastic.
What keyboard shortcut Alt-J is.
Actually,
delete all music.
I think that's where the name probably comes from. That. It has
Alt-J.
To do with...
It does nothing.
I remember it doing something somewhere.
Alt-J is
in
Banshee. In oh yes, it's downloads, but also I think in Banshee it jumps
you
to
Control J for
it
downloads.
Jumps
no Alt-J. What are you talking about?
Jumps into the latest song that you're playing or something.
Okay.
There's no Alt-J.
Oh yes,
it's Control and J.
Yeah.
Leave me alone.
People.
Anyways, you were
right.
talking about this movie.
Right. This movie is indie. Andrew Robinson. What do you think about this movie?
I think I actually like this movie a bit more than you guys. And, like, I feel, first of all, that I'm not fully sure of everything, because we literally just finished watching the movie. And
yeah.
I'm still kind of trying to,
right, you're
to
busy.
Think about this movie. But not talking about the things you guys mentioned, because, yes, it's Paul Rudd and Emile Hirsch being fun and weird and having conversations that can either bore you or intrigue you. It depends on your perspective. But more than that, I was thinking about what this movie actually meant to me. And like the thing that I took away from it was the idea of one's use of solitude, right? You can see the varying differences between Emile Hirsch and between Paul Rudd. Douglas was talking about, oh,
Emil Hirsch can't go 5 minutes without squeezing his little man. But Paul Rudd, I mean, you can even see the difference in him from the beginning of the movie to the end of the movie, where something happens and he no longer wants to be alone. And you talked about that ending shot where they're going past all these people, and I wasn't even thinking of it as, oh, there are actually other people doing this. It was me. How I took it was, it was David Gordon Green's way of telling me that they're getting closer to civilization, that we're actually seeing more and more people as we go along. Because up until this point, we had only seen the guy in the truck and the woman, who I think is very easily for us to put out a theory that they're actually not there, that they're manifestations of their imagination.
Both of them at the same time.
And it's weird. I don't know, because,
and their manifestations bring them hard liquor. That is, I want that manifestation.
I thought you don't like liquor.
if I have an imaginary thing bringing me hard liquor, I am going to like liquor immediately.
I mean, because when you're watching Paul Rudd, there are many things within the first half of that film. When you're seeing, for example, I think the, not just when he meets a woman, but when he goes into this other house, this other burned down house area, and he pretends like he's coming home to his wife, and he acts out opening up doors, he pretends to run up a stairs, goes like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know you were on the phone, comes back down, sits in his chair, and just kind of looks calm and mellow. You kind of go like, oh, this guy is either going really crazy, was crazy to begin with, and solitude is making it worse. And you start to question whether solitude is something which can actually be valued at a certain level. Emil Hirsch isn't at the age where he can even manage it at any level, but Paul Rudd, I don't know if we can say that it's just changing of perspectives about society that makes him want to think solitude is good for him, and then this is what happens. But yeah, this movie, it's something that, first of all, I don't think that I'd be putting on again to watch anytime soon. It's something where I put it under the category of, oh, I saw that and I remember some things were kind of cool about it, but I don't know if I'd intentionally ever watch it again. I do like a lot of the imagery in this movie, though. I mean, you talk about that shot with the trees, and because even before the writing came on, right, onto that shot, you just saw the lines across the trees, and it was just not just so pretty that all the lines managed to pretty much level themselves, but I was starting to think about stuff like, because they were out doing all of this work, that people tend to mark trees to say these are the trees we're cutting down. And I started to think, because that was right after he got the letter, that is this Gordon Green's visual way of showing me, oh, he's about to get cut down, not along with all of these trees. And I really like that. And so much of the visuals in this movie I like for that kind of idea. But yeah, it's, I'm with you, Damon. It's one of those movies. But I want to add more value to it somehow. And I'm sure in the coming days...
But we're like, this is a movie that where everything we're saying is preaching to the choir. Like, people know, people who are listening to this right now, know whether this is a movie that they watch, or if this is a movie they'll never watch under any circumstance.
I'm kind of curious as to what this movie would look like or feel like if Wes Anderson directed it.
It'd be 10 times as crazy. He just dump whimsy onto it. There'd be like cartoon birds at some point.
Because I, like, there's a moment when Emil Hirsch is chasing down Paul Rudd in the woods, and Paul is like, "You can't catch me." And then the next time we see him, is he's shouting help, and you look up, and he's fallen down, and he's on his ass, saying he jumped and such. And like, that moment feels like a Wes Anderson moment without the whimsy visual to it.
Sometimes I can do things that are impossible. Flew for 7 seconds. Guys, I flew for 7 seconds. And the movie,
what's the longest you flew?
Right. So
flown.
The flow chart goes like this. Do you listen to the Unnamed Movie Podcast? If yes, do you like Wes Anderson films? If yes, watch this movie. If at any point it veers off into no, then just bypass. This is not for you. Go around.
Just go around.
Yeah.
But we all sound relatively positive. No, that's the weirdest part, because it's so. I wasn't sure how this would turn out.
When we saw the trailer, we knew what type of movie this was. And so, none of us are going.
Am I the only person who made the Mario Brothers joke when you saw them in
Mario? You're a bad person.
Paul Rudd was even taller with a mustache.
Why am I talking to this seat? Why? Alright. So, Douglas, how do you feel about Perks of Being a Wallflower?
Love that
right.
Movie.
Now, what is different about that movie and this movie? Right? In terms of how they deal with relationships and how they develop the characters. It's pretty much the same. Right? It's just spending a lot of time with two people. Right? In Perks of Being a Wallflower, they had one extra person.
There's Slut and Falcon.
right. And they come up with funny things that make you remember it. Just like this movie. Right? They have the music to back up the movie. They have the visuals. But in that movie, we all love it because there's something there to love that we can grab onto and say, yes, there's something in this movie. And I love this movie and I'd recommend it to everybody. But it's not that different from Prince Avalon. It's just that we don't, I don't have anything that is really grabbing me from coming out of this movie. There's nothing that I can point to other people. I'll watch it. As I said, I'll watch this movie again. But how do I convince someone else to watch it with any reasonable assurance that they're not going to come back and punch me in the face? I can't do that.
It's Mario Brothers, but they're not clones.
Right? I don't know of one other person outside of this room that I can go to and go, I watched Prince Avalanche. You should give that movie a watch. No. Do you guys know anybody? That real people that live here in the country.
Live in
not
Jamaica.
Internet people, look out.
Internet people.
We can make up those people. I've seen Catfish. I know how this works. But real humans that you interact with.
On a side note, I still haven't met Shannon.
Right. Never know these people. I can make up another person on the internet.
Are you telling me you wore soccer jersey?
Right, see, there was at soccer jersey. I don't know who that is.
Whoever that is, that guy was awesome.
Yes. He's much better at Twitter than I am. Prince Avalanche is pretty good.
All of a sudden it's pretty good.
No,
wow.
Pretty good.
I like the way this.
No, no.
A couple of hours later he's gonna be like, oh
no, no, no.
Love this movie.
By pretty good I mean not terrible. it's a two. The movie's a two.
Yeah.
It's not terrible. It's certainly not great.
It's not great. Yeah,
right.
I agree. Yeah, but it's still a decent.
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
If we had
so
more points,
me and you are on the same.
If we had more points on the scale, I'd have put it in the 2.5 range. But we don't have that, and I'm not going to play with the scale. It's good. We've seen worse movies.
Oh, yes, we have.
I don't know what movies you're talking about. Actually, your movie isn't a one. That movie that we saw last week. The person I hate for that movie is you. It's not the movie, right? You're the one that lied to me about that movie.
Alright, one question. Will you watch other Kiarostami films?
I have watched other Kiarostami.
No, I mean after this point.
Of course. I don't hate him, it's you. Listen to me. You're the one that came in here and said that is the best movie you've ever seen. Right? That's what you said. Right? And then last week, in your defense, you're like, I knew you guys weren't going to like it. Poor shit you did. Right? This, you just roll up. Right? This movie no one else had seen. This is the greatest shit in the world. And just bit slap the other two. What? You like Lupo? And you like some other movie? Fuck all your movies. Like Someone in Love. Muff off. And then we watch it and me and Douglas looking at each other like, what the fuck is Angela? At least you can look at our two number one movies and go, yeah, I don't like it as much as these lunatics. But yeah, me and others was looking like, what in God's name is happening? Is he serious? Is that on drugs?
I've been taking them intermittently. Like, even while we're sitting here, I just took a dose. Like,
what type of LSD was he on when he watched this movie? Saw a different movie. And continues to see a different movie.
And it gets better every time.
Yeah, every more time you take LSD. Yep. So good.
Last week, the discussion of like someone in love, mm-hmm. I was asking people about films that they love that no one else, or it seems no one else loves.
Rambo.
Are you saying people don't love Rambo?
Not as much as
and they should. They really should.
When you say Rambo, you mean First Blood,
the good ones.
Just First Blood 1.
First Blood Part 2 is the good one.
No,
the goodest.
Not 2.
First Blood Part 1 is really good.
Does
and
does,
then fast First Blood Part 2 is
wait,
the goodest
question,
of all time.
Does Near Dark count? Because you guys hate that movie.
Yeah, yeah. So Near Dark would count for you.
Question,
but you're wrong.
In the Rambo ranking, mm-hmm. where does Bloodsport come?
What?
But Bloodsport. But
right.
Bloodsport
so
is like a completely
right.
other
so if,
thing.
If we had a Rambo scale, Bloodsport would be like a 0.7 Rambo. Like, it's,
wow, Bloodsport's that good?
It's no, it's not. No.
Wait,
that is why it's on our Rambo scale.
No, but you said
I want you to
oh,
process
wait,
what
wait,
you
wait,
just
hold
said.
On, hold on. Oh, I realize what you're saying now. Mm. So your scale goes from like 1 to 10.
Right.
Oh, I thought you meant that it was 0.7 of Rambo's awesomeness.
No.
Ah, okay.
No.
Oh, yeah. I thought that too. But hold on, before you go there, I want you to process that statement that you just made. Bloodsport's that good.
Right. First, never say that again. Because we have this recording. You know who's in Bloodsport, right?
Yeah.
Then why would
JCVD is in that.
Right.
But just as Sylvester Stallone is in Rambo,
right?
It is good
it
for
is
other reasons.
Essentially,
or could be good for other reasons.
70% of what Rambo is.
No, but you just said that's not what it is.
No.
So if it is 70% of
right.
Rambo is, if
but,
Rambo is up here at the ceiling,
but
70% is by like the top
you
of
need,
the window. That's still high.
You need to remember that. No, but you are thinking about it in terms of it being good. The first question you said is it. No, you have to remove that from the equation altogether. Like, Rambo isn't good.
How many Rambo films have you seen? Me?
Good.
Yeah. I have seen a little bit of the first one. I don't know if I've seen anything else.
And that is a problem. You haven't seen Rambo, so you don't. The scale, like I'm telling you, but you don't have anything to really gauge. Bloodsport is retarded. This is a dumb movie.
But is it enjoyable?
Holy shit, is it?
All right. Why am I forgetting that guy's
it's
name?
So
the guy
stupid.
Who was the king of Scotland. Why
God.
Can't I remember his name?
Oh,
right?
Forest Whitaker?
Yeah.
He was in Bloodsport too.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Oh, shit.
Like, you watch it and you go, all right, Van Damme, good job. this movie is... Oh, it is so ridiculous. It's so much fun.
Anyways... Moving on into
right.
the answers.
Right.
Louis Doolin brought up
fate name.
Into the Blue. Is that the surfer chick movie?
It could be. I think there are actually two Into the Blue movies.
No. Deep Man. No.
No.
You know what?
Into the Blue is
you know
the surfer
IMDb.
Movie.
Yes, it is.
Is
it's
it?
A surfer movie with Paul Walker and
yeah, I was about to
Jessica
say, that's not
Alba.
A surfer movie. That's an action movie. But isn't there a second Into the Blue?
I don't know.
You
right.
have Google in front of you.
Yeah. I think I know what movie you are talking about. With the girl from House. And she's a surfer. No.
Well, I don't know if she's from House. I just know that there is a surfer, but that's what I thought he was talking about. I don't think that's what
no,
he's
oh,
talking
no,
about.
No, I think I'm thinking of Blue Crush.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
Blue
the
Crush
I'm
is
the
terrible
of.
Movie that I was thinking about. Into the Blue, Paul Walker and Jessica Alba. Yeah. All right,
and Scott Kahn, don't forget.
And Scott, actually, I've always kind of liked Scott Kahn since Ocean's movies.
Actually, I think Scott is also in this.
I think everybody likes Scott Kahn from the Ocean movies and nothing else.
What else can you like him from?
Exactly.
I liked him when he was in Entourage.
No, you don't. Anybody from him.
Fair enough.
But Josh Brolin was in Into the Blue as well.
Hey guys, Josh Brolin was in Wall Street 2.
So quality.
Right.
He also said Battlefield Earth.
Right, so
no.
But then again,
John Travolta, Forest Whitaker again, and Alien.
That's
that
a
came sci- into
quote
your
unquote
brain.
Scientology.
The Scientology
right?
Apparently. Yeah. But let's at least calm down a little bit before we get upset with these people with their answers, because the question did ask what movies do you like that nobody else likes,
and
so we are not going to like any of these answers.
these two movies fit the criteria.
Oh, they do, except I'm not sure how somebody likes them, but I guess that's the requirement.
Oh no, I remember Battlefield. I think people like the book that it is based on.
Really?
People do.
And then
well, I guess
it is
written
for
by L. Ron Hubbard,
right,
so,
for being a bastardization of what the book was. But if the book is anything like that movie, even tangentially, there is no way that book can be. This movie is awful.
So Andrew, continue.
Jonathan Sullivan mentioned Bicentennial Man, and that's a Robin Williams.
Oh no.
I actually don't remember
is that,
that
the one where he's a robot.
Yes.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Where they slowly make him a realer robot or something like that?
That movie was in like a year or so of AI. And I remember after watching those two movies, I went, I don't think I like robots anymore. I think I'm done.
And then Pacific Rim.
I think
came
robots
out.
Are the worst. So other things came out.
Douglas Tilly, guy host from the Above the Line podcast, brought up Digstown, which I'm not familiar with, but
I actually don't know that movie.
Is a 90s film, looks like a boxing movie, which with James Wood and Louis Gossett Jr.
Oh, okay.
Never heard of it.
Louis Gossett Jr., huh?
Alright, can't mock him. Don't know the movie.
You know what movie he's in that I used to love when I was younger? Do you remember, Andrew? It was always on, I think, like USA or TNT or some channel like this. And there are about five of them, so it would always be a marathon. I think it's called Iron Eagle.
I
do you remember
those
that?
Movies.
Oh my god. I used to think that was the greatest. But those movies, oh, were they bad?
At Ross T. Miller brought up Rat Race.
Oh!
In his defense, when that movie came out, I thought that movie was the greatest thing on the
show.
No,
you
did. No, none of you did.
There was Mr. Bean making
it's
jokes.
Just the mad world all over again.
There
right?
was John Cleese with teeth that looked like chiclets making the weirdest things.
Guys.
And then there was Smash Mouth at the end.
Iron Eagle has a 2.9 rating.
Damon, you have to watch it.
Holy
you have to watch it.
I want to.
You should.
When anything is this bad, it's usually something special. It was in the 90s.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of dumb shit came out in the 90s.
At why do you say I quote? At I quote false. Well, I think this had to be a joke response because of the name itself, because of the handle itself. He brought up the 2000 film My Dog Skip, which
I don't know what that movie is.
Frankie Muniz played the voice of the dog.
Frankie Muniz still gets work.
This was before he gave up.
He did.
This was before he retired.
In the year 2000, he did.
Frankie Muniz is happy.
Is it crazy that every
money.
Time anybody says in the year 2000, I immediately want to start singing like I'm Conan O'Brien?
Because you're a terrible person.
Question. Answer this honestly. When someone says the phrase 10 years ago, do you think of the 90s?
No, yes, I actually do. Like just the other day, I was thinking to myself, holy shit, 2000 and change was more than 10 years ago. How is it that the 90s is not just
a while ago, just recently. The 90s is a long time ago, Andrew.
People born in the 90s are 20.
It's 23 years ago that the 90s started. Almost 20... No. Yeah, almost 24. How is that?
I'm going back to school.
Wow.
I have to deal with this reality.
Wow.
On a daily basis. Teachers keep bringing up references to shit that no one in the class was alive.
Listen, I watched...
Oh, do you remember when Eagle and Century went on, though?
I was watching...
No.
I was watching 50-50 today because it was on TV. I've never watched a movie and I just watched like 5 minutes out of it. And it's just the same kind of reference that I completely understand. Is so Joseph Gordon-Levitt went into his doctor to find out that she's like 10 years old,
mm-hmm.
Who is Anna
Kendrick,
and he says to her, "Oh, so you're like a Doogie Howser," and she's like, "What?"
Yeah.
And I'm like, "How do you not know who Doogie Howser is?" And that is kind of what you're deal with now when you realize, holy shit, the 90s was a long time ago, and I'm now working with people who were born in the 90s, kind of thing, you know?
There are people in this world that don't know what Napster is. And they're not old people.
Wow.
They've never heard of
that
it.
That one feels special.
They have never heard of it.
I
no
mean,
idea.
It's one thing if you say the person has never heard of Lotus 1-2-3.
Whoa. I remember that.
Right, but that's old things that
only nerds
would know.
Yeah.
Napster came about when the internet existed. The whole world.
Was that
knew
before I went to college?
That was way before. We were very young when Lotus
were
was.
Were we in high school when Napster came out?
Oh,
yes.
Napster? Yeah, Napster was high school.
Napster started out before me and you went to high school.
Well, maybe you guys, but
yeah.
I was in high school when Napster came out, I think.
Right. Okay. But anyways, there are more answers that we should go through. Adrian at Andrew Fresco brings up Ace Ventura.
People don't like Ace Ventura. What is
people?
Wrong with them?
who are these people?
Actually,
why
I have to admit, it was on TV recently and I watched a piece of it and was sadly disappointed.
It is.
And this is the first movie, because we all know the second movie was bad. But the first movie, I used to adore that movie.
As a child, I remember both thinking the second movie was better.
Oh, of course. We both did.
We
but,
are
oh my
children
goodness.
Of the 90s.
Yeah, we
and
are.
So of course we love.
I remember,
and we'll always love
it. I remember Tandy taking us to the theater to watch part two and not being able to hear it because people were laughing too loud.
Ikwen Socha!
moving on.
Chicago. Jim Carrey's the best.
Yes.
Go home and watch.
I hope I'm not going to mess up this name. It's someone from French Canada.
Yes, you are.
Pierre Louis VG. Did I get close?
I don't think so.
Not even.
I can't even read it, but I'm telling you, you probably messed it up.
The handle is P. Louis Walcott.
Sure.
Brings up God Bless America. Which, have you guys seen this movie?
I have seen the poster. I have
not
seen
the
movie.
With the little girl, right?
And the guy who go around killing people.
Yeah, I like that movie.
I remember liking that movie when I saw it.
I like that movie.
I gave it the I think this is the best movie I've seen this year so far kind of quotation at the time.
Right.
I've middled that.
Yeah.
But I do like that movie.
Right. It was right, God Bless America 2011. Yeah. I'll watch it. It was okay. I like the ending. So dumb.
It was very like what most people don't like about it is it's really preachy.
Yeah.
When they get into a lot of the monologues, like it's literally just shouting at you, telling you stop thinking this,
right.
You know. And for us, most of that shit we already figured out a while back. And he's really shouting at children.
Right.
But the weird part is
stop
children shouldn't be watching a movie because
stop
it's a
really it's
really,
really violent
movie.
There's a lot of swears in it.
In the opening scene, he dreams about murdering a baby.
There's some sex. So Americans don't want anything to do with this.
Right.
Not unless Warner Brothers puts it up, man.
the Sleepy Skunk, who...
That's a pretty good name.
brought up Jury Duty, which is a film that I'm not familiar
with.
Oh
my god, nope. How have you not watched Jury Duty?
Nope.
That's Pauly Shore, Andrew.
Nope.
Oh my goodness.
I'm very sorry.
Sleepy.
Oh wait, I think I may have seen this movie.
Oh,
it's a Pauly Shore
Andrew.
Movie. I may have seen this
Pauly
movie.
Pauly Shore.
Point.
There was a time in the 90s when Pauly Shore ruled the world.
Yep.
And unfortunately, I was along board with him. I used to want to watch every Pauly Shore movie.
I think this works well talking about God Bless America to be like Pauly Shore and Bobcat Goldthwait, who are both characters of like the 80s, 90s.
Well, Bobcat is more the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And my slow realization as I grew up that they were playing characters and were not actually these people.
yeah. You look at Pauly Shore and you're just like, he is that surfer dude. He is that like airhead.
Until one day, like last year, when I hear him on WTF and he's like, yeah. Like, I'm a normal person.
Right. You see him in a suit talking like a human, you go, oh, thank God. Because then you can feel better saying, you are terrible at everything.
Then he shows
enjoy your money.
Then he shows you his bank account
right.
And you're like,
it's
a ham.
Right. Enjoy your money, just know you won the lottery. Because you are the worst. Absolutely everything.
What was the one where he was in the military?
Oh, with his friend. Oh my goodness.
In the army, no.
Yeah.
That's the name of the movie.
What's that guy's name again? Alex? No.
Like I remember that
Andrew
was...
Andy Dick. Andy Dick is his like he was essentially his sidekick, right?
I remember that
great.
Movie was basically Pauly Shore's reworking of Stripes.
Yep. Essentially.
So
did you know that
so
Stripes
well.
Was supposed to be Cheech and Chong go
yeah,
for the army? That's pretty awesome. They're like, shit, Cheech and Chong don't want to work together anymore? Okay, let's change this. Bill Murray can come on. He'll bring Harold Ramis with him and it will be Ghostbusters Part 5.
David Allen Greer.
And the last response I'm going to bring up is from @film actually. Who mentioned The Secret Life of Walter Mitty, because he got to see it at the New York Film Festival.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of bad things about that
a
movie.
Lot of people are not pleased with that movie. But he seems to have loved it. It's like he's even worried about when it comes out later this year.
Oh, no. The Secret Life of Walter Mitty is the...
Ben Stiller.
The new Ben Stiller movie.
Yeah.
That's
I was
next
thinking
month.
About the Coen Brothers movie.
Yeah.
Inside Llewyn Davis.
Right. I was confusing them. But... Nobody in their right, no film critic will ever say anything. Even if the Coen brothers put out hot garbage, there's not a film critic alive that is going to pan anything from those dudes.
I'm sure if I look up some reviews of some of them.
No, I'm not talking about people who's made it their life's work to pan everything and like terrible movies. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about real critics. Right? When those guys put out movies, everybody. I mean, most of their movies are terrific, so it's not really their fault. But you don't... Like, people pan Nolan movies because they're...
How dare they?
They're giant blockbuster movies that aren't deep or whatever.
You don't have to read Armin White, you know?
No. Why on earth would I do... No, I'm talking about, again, regular critics. talking about it. Like, people when the Inception came out, there's a lot of people when these are convoluted myths and they don't see it. He's just doing what he always does. Trick people with loud music and boans. And showing us pretty pictures.
Put
and
a
then,
boan everywhere that someone would
and
be
then
confused.
Ends the movie on a question mark and everybody thinks it's the best thing. Well, I guess he does do that, but I like all his movies. They're entertaining. Remember how movies are supposed to be entertaining? But, you know, we would never dare say anything bad about Nolan. But I don't see now, like, I read a lot of the New York Times, I read Newsweek and The Economist, those, like, when those people put out reviews.
Wait, sorry. Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just back up for a
yes.
second. So, you read movie reviews from The Economist?
Yes.
No, not I don't read The Economist.
you just call them the
sorry.
Name of The Economist.
News does, not News. I'm very sorry. I wish they would though.
That would be fantastic.
Can you imagine?
Like okay, so the Fed did not taper this week, but on
but
a side
gravity
note,
gravity is incredible.
So So when I say be excited, this is what I want. Because you just broke things.
I'm going to write The Economist as guys.
Oh, goodness. It's just like when I found out that Forbes has film critics.
Like, why? Who is reading Forbes? But if you have magazines,
rich people watch movies too, I guess.
No, they don't.
Make movies.
I've looked into it. Speaking of which, there is a system that you can buy for $35,000.
I'm in.
That will give you direct access to brand new movies.
Oh,
each of those movies costs $500 a piece.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
And when I saw that thing, I thought, like, how much money?
Is this you building Yard Cinema?
Right. Is it worth it for me to do this?
Do you have to rely on proxy?
No. It is anybody in the world. As long as you have the 35 grand, they just treat you as a cinema.
Okay.
And you pay the $500.
Is the 35 grand a one-time cost?
Yeah, $35, and they send you the system. And then you download the movies. It is a secure, encrypted thing from end to end. And then you have the movie for $500. And you
for
watch it. Ever.
Okay.
It's a digital file you keep.
No, I'm just questioning if it's a weird system.
No.
Okay.
For $500, I'm pretty sure they're going to give you the movie pause. And they're enormous
price. A price is a price. Because a price is just a value that someone gave a service. So if they've decided their service is valued at that, then they can give you that price.
They do it for rich people who don't want to mix with poor people at the cinema.
Like me. Like
Damon. Except for the rich person. But
yeah, exactly. We now need to get to that level.
Holy shit, if I could. Oh, God.
Oh, my goodness. That would be beautiful.
Like, I was really sitting there, I'm like, Damon. $35,000 is not, that's like $4 million. Is it worth $4 million for you to get this system?
Yes, it is. How much was the house?
And I thought about it. Alright, I'll build 2 rooms for $2 million. I can build an extra big room to house this system for say $1 million. And then $4 million for the system. And then I get to pick and choose new movies.
And now you no longer have to worry about is Kai bringing it down.
Right, you wouldn't mind.
As long as it's released, you're just like, $500. which distributors are signed on to this?
Most of them. They just treat it as a normal cinema.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get most of the movies.
Andrew, you could watch Kurosami movies.
Yeah. As soon as they drop.
Don't play with my soul. I just be like, Damien, I come in.
Fuck. I really sat down and looked like, how would I pitch this to a bank? How could I con a bank to lend me money?
You say you're building a cinema, sir.
Right.
Where is it going to be located?
It will be in my yard, technically.
Okay, and how many people will be able to see there?
One.
How much will be a ticket?
$500.
$500 Jamaica dollars?
$100 US dollars.
And what kind of market are you looking at?
3 more people. A market of 4 people.
Holy shit, we're getting sidetracked.
Holy real, this was. Don't worry about this. Have a plan.
Alright, moving on.
I'll use some of these money and buy these guns. And you'll get back your money.
Yeah, that was the end of that question. My next question I wanted to ask for the next week, tying in with Ender's Game, the movie that's coming out this weekend.
Please make money.
Well, you're definitely not making anything on points. I'll tell you that, because that movie looks horrible.
The book, Douglas, the book is terrific.
Is it? I don't know. I've never read it.
A good book always a perfect movie makes.
Always, yes.
Look at World War Z.
A lot of people have been discussing the fact that it comes from a book and the stance of the writer of the book, and how the film seems to have changed certain elements.
What?
Mainly thematic elements.
What?
And
they changed the book.
They changed the book. And I'm kind of curious as to what people's stance. I think I've brought this up before, but not really in this sense as a forum question for people to answer. When it comes to adaptations, like, are you for the the sense of actually adapting and changing things to suit what the filmmaker wants, or are you all for give me page for page what the book said?
I am for entertain me, entertain me, entertain me. If the book is not going to entertain me, you may change.
If I wanted to read, the book, guess what I'd do? Jump onto Amazon and punch in the name of the goddamn book. I'd be here in half a second. But I don't want to do that. I want to be entertained for hour and a half. Change whatever you need. My temper got the best of me. And when I say that, I mean I know every single thing that I said was true. If you're thinking like that, I think you'll see that you're mad at you too. And I know the feeling's strong, strong enough to forget about all. So yes, I want to come to the pitch game, and I have to look at Douglas and ask her, are you ready?
Yeah, man, I'm ready.
Okay.
I just have to change my lists. I forgot, I have a list of movies that I would like to...
Right, so the last time you two morons, gave me Sparrow and Condor Man.
Did you watch Condor Man?
I started watching Condor Man. I went, I don't... There's not enough cookies to get me back. There's not enough crumbs to get me out of this rabbit hole. This is nonsense. So about half an hour.
That movie is so good.
It's so dumb. I didn't have the time. I couldn't manage all of that.
They gave him all the money.
Yeah. It's really dumb. And... I started watching Sparrow as well.
Condor Man.
There is a light.
Andrew. Andrew, why did you recommend Sparrow to me? Why?
I think you're misinterpreting.
No, is this punishment? Aren't you guys... Look, part of the reason you're pitching these movies, I thought, was because at some point these movies would be good. And I hadn't seen them. And so you're trying to convince me to see them. I didn't realize it was going to be shitty garbage from your past. That you're trying to force me to watch. So far, the only good movie that has been recommended is Once. And I've already seen that movie.
No. There is a movie that you can't watch yet that I recommended that is great.
Of course. Yes. Okay. Thanks. I'm going to watch the shit out of that movie. But it's not out yet.
Alright, well, I promise a much more entertaining.
You're promising on you're a liar.
So, anyways, how did the rules work? Since Andrew won last time, he goes first?
Well, I don't think we had agreed to that, but...
I don't care.
I'm going to let you go first. So, for anyone who hasn't heard how this game works, is that we each are given 45 seconds to pitch a movie to Damien. You have to have seen the movie you're pitching. And I guess that's really it so far. Douglas, you're up.
Tell me when I gotta go.
Go.
One man single-handedly thwarts the Nazis and various Nazi plots over the course of 50 years. Yes, he wears a suit, but clearly he must have watched The Incredibles because no capes. No capes. Anyway, that's all I have.
This sounds familiar.
It does sound familiar, doesn't it?
I feel like I know what this movie is, but I can't really pick it right.
Captain America is what this movie is.
What?
No capes.
No capes. Okay, that's interesting. I'll go. So there's a Japanese film.
Of course there is. Of course.
And what happens is there's a man who, when you find this man for the first time, he's in this big white room with no exits, no doors. But there's a little baby penis on the wall, and every time he touches the baby penis, something comes out, and it's all about him trying to put all of these things together to figure out how to get out.
Before you choose Andrew's movie...
Absolutely not, I'm not going to choose
Andrew's movie. Oh wow, so you're choosing
Andrew's movie is a Japanese film with a man in a white room and baby penis. Okay. Somehow. I don't find any of that appealing.
All right. So you're going to choose my movie then?
By default.
Why, thank you.
Nazi
I win.
Movie for 50 years.
So my movie, Douglas knows what
no,
it is.
No, of course I know what it is.
It's Hiroshi Matsumoto film Symbol.
Yeah, which I definitely want to watch.
Which is insanely hilarious.
Yes,
it's looked, so weird.
I was watching, I think I watched the first maybe half hour, 45 minutes with Andrew, and it was fantastic. But my movie, and I promise you, you have not watched this movie. Yes, it is Captain America. However, it was made in like 1990.
Oh, you're doing the 90s version.
Oh, it is fantastic, Damien.
I'm sorry.
You didn't know that there was a Captain America from the 90s?
Why on earth would I know that?
Oh, you are going to. Oh, my goodness.
Not watch it, yes.
Yes, you are going to watch
I'm
it.
I'm going to not watch
it.
It
is great. Steve Rogers, he fights the Red Skull, and oh,
it ends on a freeze frame.
Oh, it's so good.
With everyone happy. As all 90s movies. I think that actually was a TV movie, was it?
I think I know we watched it on TV. I'm not sure. It probably was, but I don't know.
We're all bad people. Just letting you all know that, right?
Baby penises!
Pretty special.
It works for us.
Don't you think there's a future there?
I never really thought about it. What's going on here?
Really never thought about it?
No.
How can you not think about that? How does it not even cross your mind that you might want a future with someone?
It's simple. You know that moment when you look into somebody's eyes and you can feel them staring into your soul and the whole world goes quiet just for a second?
Yes.
Right, well, I don't.
You're an asshole.
No. Look, I'm just dicking around. Come on, give me a hand.
Don't you think it's worth giving her a chance?
A chance to what?
A chance at something real.
Natalie, your definition of real is going to evolve as you get older.
Can you stop condescending for one second, or is that one of the principles of your bullshit philosophy?
Bullshit philosophy?
The isolation, the traveling, is that supposed to be charming?
No, it's simply a life choice.
It's a cocoon of self-banishment.
Wow, big words.
Screw you.
So moving on into our top five of the week, tied in with Prince Avalanche, I wanted to talk about our top films about isolation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we can start with Douglas.
Okay. Well, my number five. Let's see. I have to bring up my list. My number five movie, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, actually came out this year. It's a pretty good movie. It's one that Andrew's going to make a ton of money on. And it is set in space.
And give me a lot of points.
Yes.
The movie's a 4.
The movie's pretty good. This movie is Gravity. It's great. It's really all
and
about.
That movie blew up. Everybody likes the movie, and it's made
yeah,
$1 trillion.
Yeah, it has.
Good.
Yeah, it is good. Sandra Bullock, you know, trying to get home, which I didn't realize that from the trailer. I had hoped for Buried in Space, but I'm fine with what they gave me, as it was a good movie. Alfonso Cuarón wins again. Fantastic.
That has to be the title of our movie soon.
I want
Buried
a movie
space.
Called Buried in Space.
Makes no sense.
No, I want.
Alright, let me just go with a movie that I absolutely love, that Andrew here thought I was never going to like. It is from a director I do not like.
Mm-hmm.
It is Richard Parker.
Sorry?
I'm sorry, Life of Pi. Richard Parker!
Oh, yeah! I still haven't watched it,
so I didn't. Clearly, I wouldn't get that.
Right. Andrew should get
it. I really need to rewatch that movie because I haven't seen it since
you're
the one time
bad
I saw it.
I've seen that movie so many times. It's so good.
I hate Ang Lee so much.
Tell him to watch Ice Storm, please. Tell him Ice Storm is good.
Really?
Like, dog. Really? Look, I don't... Like, Ang Lee knows two movies. Like, one I love, the Ice Storm, I like. Which is really good. Right? If you need an excuse to like Ang Lee again.
Alright.
You can't. There's two.
But there's also the other one. I really, really like Brokeback. That's fantastic.
So... Douglas went to space, and I'm going to stay there.
Oh, sweet.
What? Lost in Space? That movie. It's terrible.
And I'm going to go with a film that's a favorite of ours, Duncan Jones's Moon.
You mother.
Damn it. That's my number one, Andrew.
Well, you've been doing this wrong.
Well, wow.
That's my number five.
Yeah, all right, listen,
shots fired.
Yeah, yeah.
Shots fired. All right, fine.
Fair enough.
Let's do this.
Let me put it this way. I've gotten very creative with my list, and this is the most like straightforward pick of my list.
That's fine. So what you're saying is okay, so everything's fair game.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, all right. We're just going to be dicks.
Actually, I'm just going to continue. My next movie, so I talked about Buried in Space.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? Buried is a really good movie too. And Buried is just isolation
so
galore.
So guess what? I'm not going to say anything more on my list because fuck my list. You guys are taking everything off.
Wow.
Sure. Alright then. Old Boy. Hey guys.
Yep.
Old Boy. It's terrific. Next.
Oh my goodness. Well, actually, this one gets to be on the list now, so that might be a good thing.
I actually rewatched this film today, and mainly for the reason of deciding whether it should be on the list or not. And I'm so happy I watched it because I don't think I've seen it since when it came out in 2000. The Robert Zemeckis film with Tom Hanks, Castaway, where everyone knows. No love for Castaway. This movie is really good, man.
I didn't like it at the time, but I was also like 10 years old. So who knows?
Guess what?
Well, I think what I loved the most when I was rewatching this film today wasn't just the way that you see him change from before he is on the island to when he isn't on the island.
Andrew, he's thin.
Yes, he loses weight too.
Right. It's the way he finds, you know, a kindred spirit. Wilson.
And then realizes that his dentist was Spalding.
And it is the way you realize that anyone trapped on an island for that long did something bad to Wilson. Bad things happen on that island. No one cares about a ball that much unless bad things are happening.
But what I felt myself focusing on more and more was the fears that grew in him throughout that movie, that you kind of see to the tail end, and the fears in people. Like, there's this shot when he's finally picked up of the ship going across him, and you just see his hand lifting up just against the ship, and it's just so wonderful. There's even, and I mean, there's obvious stuff. There's like when you see him in the plane again coming back, you see him gripping really tightly, but I think nothing beats more than when, and I don't feel bad for talking a little bit detailed about the ending of this movie, it's like 13 years old now, when his then girlfriend ducks out of meeting him when he comes back, and you see her like just breaking down outside against the backdrop of just FedEx planes all over the place.
Damn it, Angie, you just spoiled it for me.
What, FedEx is in this movie?
it's a really good movie, and I haven't yet figured out as to where it falls in the world of what people think of this movie, but I feel like it's a forgotten, underrated film.
No,
you're high and drunk.
I think
everybody
this
likes
is,
this.
Everybody loves.
No,
this
everybody
movie.
Loved this movie at the time, but
no.
It's like,
yeah, but
when
people
Tom Hanks,
exactly,
they think this movie.
Yeah,
and there's a
there are a few
that.
Movies.
Yeah.
Tom Hanks.
Cloud
Atlas.
No,
actually, I don't think that's one. Of
no
them.
One thinks about Cloud Atlas.
You think about Castaway. You think about Forrest Gump,
right?
And you think about Big. And I'm sure there are a few more.
Maybe. I don't know about that.
But that's, yeah,
but
that's,
yeah, those are the big three.
You think
I hope they think about Captain Phillips now, because that movie's great.
Probably not. Everybody's probably sitting their ways.
It's not that great.
Like,
the last part of that movie is fucking fantastic.
I don't want people to think that I don't like Castaway, because, yeah, it's a good movie. It's just that people put that movie on such a high pedestal, and I don't think the movie is anywhere near that good. I like it, but come on, guys. It's very reasonable. Douglas Robinson.
Douglas Robinson! Is it my turn? Okay. I would like to come up at the middle of my list.
My last words.
With a failure.
You guys won't have it.
Damien's failure.
Mm-hmm.
Damien tried.
Mm-hmm.
He saw that I was recommending movies like Butcher Boy, Hedwig, all sorts of movies that he just despised. And he said, you know what? I'm going to mess Douglas up.
Yep.
I'm going to give him the worst movie ever.
Tedious nonsense. He gave
me The Lives of Others.
Yep. And Douglas,
that movie's fantastic.
Threw that movie in my
face. I love it. And it is
on that day, I decided that I never liked Douglas anymore.
Yep. It's maybe not the what you call the classical definition of an isolationist movie, but this man has isolated himself in listening to other people, because I can't remember if a police officer or he works somehow with the police, but he's the guy that listens to the wiretaps. Mm-hmm. And he just sits down there in his room by himself listening to people and just somehow forms this bond with them. And it's just... words cannot describe how good this movie
words
is.
To describe how good it is. Words like not. And entertaining. Alright. I can either go for old classics that you guys probably haven't seen, or recent nonsense that you guys have seen.
I'd like you to try me on old classics.
Alright, old classics. Loneliness of the Long Distance Runner. Have you seen that?
No.
As I said, old classics that no one has seen. You guys should watch this movie. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's really good. It's old as shit. And there's a lot of the old movie tropes that we sit down and laugh at.
How old? 50s? 30s?
Yeah, about 50s.
Okay.
And you see it and you go, yes, this is... You women don't talk like that. But then you watch yourself move it, and it's really good. I saw it while marathoning through the zillions of movies to catch up the dumb thing I did a long time ago, and it's one of the movies that stuck. You know, so I went, oh, this is pretty good. I watch it again and again, and so yeah, Loneliness of the Long Distance Run.
So my number three is Superman.
I'm sorry, which one now?
Which one?
There's
the
good
first
one?
Superman.
Oh, so one of the three.
By Richard Donner. I mean, Superman is probably the most isolated superhero character that we could talk about ever. Because he is an alien, for lack of a better word.
He's been banging Lois Lane since the dawn of Superman.
Who pretends to be real to fit in, but never really does. He has to build a fortress of solitude that he calls it.
What am I, Douglas?
You're Superman. Wait, what? Huh? Oh, Superman. Wow, who are you?
Are you still making fun of old Superman, or are you...
I'm making fun of all Superman.
And the movie is really good. I really love that old Superman movie.
Nope.
Just because it isn't
Zack
Snyder action.
Right, listen. Let us be... Guys. Right? There's a good Batman movie before the Nolan movies. But only one. There's never been a good Superman movie. There's never been a good Superman movie.
No. Which one is a good Batman movie?
The first one. What's his name?
Oh, Batman Forever?
Oh, Batman and Robin.
Yeah, Batman and Robin. Batman and Robin.
Poorly rusted metal Batman. Batman
with the nipples.
Yep. George Clooney. Can't. So good.
Shark repellent.
Shark repellent.
All right. They're the first Batman where someone pulled out a gun and shot down the Batwing. That one. That one.
I love it every time I see that.
That movie's fantastic.
Yeah, it's so good. And then they made straight garbage. And then Nolan saved it.
Like with all superhero movies, there's a level of the character is unable to connect with society. That is something which you cannot take as a different kind of isolation. It's not just like Prince Avalanche, where they literally went to the middle of nowhere and decided, we're done with you people. And Superman, I feel, is one of the most forced into that situation characters of all of them, and probably the most on the nose for the word isolation, because as I say, he built the Fortress of Solitude, which was his home technically, in order to find out about himself.
He had a mother and a father. He grew up with all
the and
kids.
For the whole of that he went, I don't get it. He's like, all right, I'll go and do it, but it don't make sense.
Superman is a dumb character. Thank God Zack Snyder saved it.
Anyways, yeah. I guess we can move on.
Yes, so I will go for my number two with a movie that neither of you have seen and so cannot tell me otherwise, and that is Blue Ruin. by the way, did I say to you, Damien, that I went to TIFF this year and watched awesome movies?
Right, you were gone for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I was.
I was wondering where you went.
Yeah,
I'm curious, has he done this every week?
No, I don't think I have.
I'm trying to keep track.
No, he's starting this week.
Okay.
Like, the other weeks, you guys didn't do it so directly. Like, you were trying to talk about a movie, and you're like, alright, Damien would. But this is the first time he's using it in attack mode, and that is fine.
Anyway, Blue Ruin is pretty damn good. It's probably, if it's not my favorite, it's one of my favorite movies from TIFF this year. It's essentially a revenge movie, but it has its isolationist. It's kind of solitude.
Wow. Oh, so we're just making them.
Yeah, it's got some sort of isolation themes there. You know, he essentially, at the beginning of the movie, it is essentially Old Boy, but it's like Old Boy in the sense that he has, this is of his own choice that he has decided to isolate himself from, you know, his family, from everybody else. He lives in a car, and then, you know, he gets a big piece of news, and he goes, and he's like, I am about to wreck shit. And he does it again, all on his own. Mm-hmm. And throughout the movie, he is by himself, mostly, trying to, you know, right whatever wrong has occurred. And it's just great.
What's the country of origin?
The US.
Alright, fine. I'll give it a try. Alright, so, we can try this again.
I'm always going to say old classics.
No, that's why I'm not listening to you. Old classics are recent nonsense.
Recent nonsense!
Good. Rambo First Blood Part 2. One man alone wins
a
war.
Why don't you ever say First Blood Part 1? Because that's a better movie.
You're incorrect, sir. I don't know if you remember a war Ronald Reagan fought and lost.
I wasn't born then, I'm
Rambo
sorry.
Rambo won that war by himself. Like, the US Army lost, and Rambo won. That is how good that movie is. It's so good. So good. So good. Andrew, it's your pick.
It's my pick.
Yes, number one.
No, it's number two.
No?
Yeah, it's his number two. My number one when I come up. I'm the first.
Alright, you guys took most of my movie.
So my number two is Taxi Driver, a film which I bring up many times on the podcast.
To the chagrin of Douglas Robinson.
Because, I mean, if we can talk about people who don't connect with society at all, I think we can talk about
Robert
De Niro in this movie. Because he just, like, he after coming back from the war, couldn't figure out the world and decided the only job he could take was being a midnight taxi driver, where he just hated people. He basically is the most real-world version of Rorschach from Watchmen. Like, if Rorschach is a realer version of Batman, then we go another notch and we get Robert De Niro from Taxi Driver. And as I keep telling Douglas, this movie is amazing, and I'm probably going to make him rewatch this movie sometime in the coming months.
Taxi Driver is incredible, Douglas. Like, it is incredible,
if you say so. Alright, so I guess that means it's time for all of our number ones.
Yep.
No, I will share the intro of my number one with one Damian White. Okay? So we're going to have to do this now, Damian.
Sure.
Okay? Let's get ready.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
My number one movie. It should have been number two, but it is now number one, thanks to Andrew, is Deliverance.
Pig fucking.
Oh, my God. I love this movie.
Sweet little piggies.
This movie is great. It is about these four friends.
Except for the power, the color, the day night, the daylight.
Yeah, that was poor.
That's pretty
that
bad.
That's poor. But so these four friends go out. They go camping, they go canoeing, and shit goes wrong. And
by the end of the movie, they say, yo, son, don't. Like, this didn't happen. None of this happened.
I don't think we can see each other anymore, yeah, says the man.
We're no longer friends. None of this happened. And everybody looked at each other and went, yep, did not happen.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, the movie is the stuff. All right. And for what? The final time. old classics versus new madness. Douglas.
How about in between?
There's
okay
no
movies.
You lost your chance.
Old classics.
Old classics. Vertigo. Have you seen Vertigo?
I have.
Mm-hmm. And you don't think that's about isolation?
Not particularly.
Sure, you've seen Vertigo.
Are you talking about Rear Window?
No.
Damian, it is time for you to lay your case at the court.
At
the court of Tump.
Have you seen Vertigo?
No, I have not.
I mean, he works alone, but...
Leave now. Douglas, if you may, can you define isolation for me, please?
I think isolation is the thing at the bottom of my shoe, right?
No, that's insulation.
No, listen to me. Let me explain to you where I'm going, right?
Right.
When I say he works alone, I'm talking about, like, Jack Nicholson in Chinatown, where when you see him out on a boat, he's by himself,
mm-hmm.
but he never really feels like the guy who is the or even like Bogart in the Maltese Falcon, where he's alone, but at the same time you never really get a feeling of isolation when you're with him.
But he's so different from everybody else, and he sets himself apart in almost all of his actions. Plus, of course, you said he works by himself. Like, he is an isolated character. Like, you see him with other people. But does it ever feel like he's part of a group? No. Does it? That is why I said that. And it's pretty much the same case with Loneliness of the Long Distance. It's not that they're by themselves.
No, yeah,
all
yeah.
the time.
And I mean, I'm putting up movies which are not, which people aren't technically. And my last movie, I don't know if I'm going to have to argue with you guys, but we'll see. But I get you. I'm okay. Damn, I love Vertigo.
Yeah, it's really good.
My number one, I'm going to give it to Mr. Paul Thomas Anderson, and I'm going to nominate There Will Be Blood. Right, because we're talking about an individual who, even though he works within the system of of corporations and buildings and such, he at every turning point has no problem with dishing everyone out, including his adopted son. He
bastard in the basket.
He literally looks at people and says, "I don't care about the world. All I care about is building up." Right? And that, if nothing else, is self-created isolation. And it is such a great movie.
But that movie ends. How that movie ends. That is like a snapshot of isolation.
Uh-huh.
Like he... Paul Dano went in there with a plan. Met this man who was... Not, he wasn't being swarmed by a multitude of people. It was him, and he was having none of it. And so, yeah, that guy is, I wouldn't argue with that one. He is a loner. He's, I wish I liked that movie more.
Because, I mean, that's the thing
you know?
That I was thinking about the most, thinking about my top three films, about people who felt isolated even though they technically were within society. Right, and it's something that I think about more and more when you talk about like living in a big city, how isolated you can feel surrounded by so many people.
Damien looks like he wants to say something.
He took the point away from There Will Be Blood, so I don't want to say anything though, and have people think that I'm referring to his last comment about living in the big city. Like, I want to like There Will Be Blood, and there's things about it that I do like, but the movie on a whole feels like it drags. I feel that movie drags, and by the end of the movie, like, it's not a situation where I don't understand what they're going for. It's just at the end of the movie I went, I don't think. And then the internet and you guys,
for basically anything Paul Thomas Anderson,
you guys love the shit out of this movie.
Yeah, I do.
Like, you guys don't see anything as problems.
There's nothing wrong with this movie. Zero wrong.
Like, if you don't like this, you don't like movies, and fuck you and stop reading the internet. You're like, guys, why?
I agree with that sentiment.
Yeah.
100%.
Why can't I not like this one? No, it's either the best shit ever or fuck you and fuck me. Like, wait, what? What happened? He's the best director of all time. God damn it. God damn it.
And then he brought out The Master and you were happy again.
He won't. And then he did do The Master. But if someone said they didn't like The Master, why'd I look down on them? I would tell them to stop watching movies and kill themselves. Calm down.
And I love Punch Drunk Love.
Nope.
Oh, I love that movie.
Sometimes I think that might be my favorite of his.
I love that movie.
Like it's so close to giving,
yeah.
Like thinking about my top three of his films.
I think it
they're
was
so close.
Yeah, because it was the first one. I didn't know who he was at the time, but it was definitely one of the first like really crazy movies that I watched and enjoyed. And so there's something special about that movie for me.
I guess I didn't really start watching movies. Proper cinema. Till later on. Didn't catch me early.
Oh, I guess I should ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
I should end right now, but have you watched or started watching or whatever, this thing I've been watching through, this thing, The Story of Film? You should watch it. It's kinda awesome.
Mm-mm.
No?
Not want it.
Hmm?
Not want it.
Why? Alright.
Same reason I stopped watching, listening to creative screenwriting. I don't want people to give me their revisionist version of history and start to talk about movies, given what everybody knows now, as if that is what happened. When, like, none of that. Everybody's just looking back and telling you things, but through the lens of now. Right? Is like, I'd even prefer to listen to movie commentary that comes on the. But I don't want to do that either. I want
actually,
my experience.
I think like
to be my experience.
I agree with that. But I think they do. The guy Mark Cousins does a really good.
His name is Michael Smiley.
Just because he sounds like Smiley, does a really good job of contextualizing not just in how it changed towards now, but also what it was at that time.
Okay.
So I mean, you can tell me, because they definitely do that thing where they go like, look at this thing which they did in the 30s, and then look at how it changed in like the Matrix. You can see it even there. But at the same time, because it goes in a direct form from beginning to now, and it's 15 hours. So it's pretty detailed. But anyways, I guess that's it, and I guess we can end this one off. So that's been the podcast. As usual, you can hear it over at Gmail Reviews, as well as iTunes or Stitcher, and any other podcast application. You can read all of our tweets, even Damian being attacked by mosquitoes. Over on Twitter, Damian is Damian_White. I am Gmail Reviews, and Douglas is DJ, I lost his name. Thanks so much, and good night.